wasted hours and minutes. They're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you in me. I need. Fill me with nothing less. Oh, I need more of you. And the world can have the rest. Oh, I could never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth and your love. Oh, I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you in me. Let's try that verse again. Oh, I need more of till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. I need more of you in me.
Amen. That's a good song to start the new year out with, but actually we were here till almost 12:45 this morning worshiping the Lord. I just had a real outpouring of His Spirit. It was just definitely the best watch night service I've been to, but it was just an outpouring of His Spirit. Good way to bring in the new year. So sure, appreciated what the Lord did for us here last night. Looking forward to what He's doing tonight. Amen. Try to put these words up here.
Lord, You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. Oh, of deliverance from my enemies, until all my fears are gone. Oh, child of I am a child of God, and from my mother's womb you have chosen me. Your love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family, and now your blood flows through my veins. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, yes, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, yes, I am a child of God. Oh, you unravel me, Lord, with a melody, and you surround me with a song. It's of deliverance from mine enemies until all my fears. Let's stand and sing. I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, yes, I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. Sing it that way once more. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and see. I am a child. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, no, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Once more. Oh, I'm no fear. I am a child of God. Yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God.
Amen. I'm thankful that we don't have to be under the spirit of fear. Amen. God bless you. It's 556 if you don't know it.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. That spirit dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Oh, if that spirit dwell in you, oh, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, And if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you, yes, it will quicken your mortal body. Oh, if that Spirit, it dwells in you, oh, it will quicken.
Why don't you turn and greet one another this evening? Church again in the house of the Lord this evening. I greet all of you in the name of the Lord and wish you a very happy new year, and just looking forward to getting out of here. I hope this is the year that Jesus comes back and takes us all home. Looking forward to that. Amen. As we go to prayer, I want to remember the Heron Bassets in prayer as they're traveling home from Minnesota, and anybody else that would be traveling. Sister Angela and Isaiah are not feeling well this evening, and Sister Cheryl Cote says, please pray for Mary Bryson. She is 85. Someone came into her home and beat her up and left her to die. She is in the hospital. My, that's a very sad situation, but we pray that God will intervene. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand? I know there's still some that are fighting colds and coughs and things this time of the year, so I want to remember all of those. Brother Trevor, would you come up and pray over these prayer requests?
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be in your house again tonight, Lord. Though I would confess, Father, that my body was tired and from being out late last night. But Lord, as we just looked into our hearts and thought, you know, we had such a wonderful service last night. Your Spirit was with us, and it was the best way we could have spent that evening, Lord. And oh, Father, so here we are again. Would you come and meet with us again, Father? Would you come and do it again? Lord, that's our desires, to speak to you, to experience you more and more. So, Father, now as we enter into your presence and invite you to be with us and amongst us, O God, and speaking to our hearts, as we worship you and long to hear from and pull to hear from your word, Lord. Father, we make our requests known to you. You heard these requests. Brother and sister still traveling, Lord, be with them and keep them and the family there. Lord, bring swift healing to the cut that Brother Joel received. And Lord, we truly recognize, Father, in an age of church shootings and people breaking into homes and beating someone up and leaving them to die, Father, what a wicked and depraved world this has become, Lord. And it has been for so many years, Lord. Father, that means we're just looking for a millennium to come, Father, when this flesh is not in the way anymore, Lord. And we're able to just worship and praise you without any fleshly inhibitions, Lord God. Lord, we're looking forward to that day because we love you and we love all that you are. Oh, Father, but until that time, we need your help, Lord. We need your strength. Lord, this woman, pray that you'd go to her and that you'd be with her, that you'd heal her body, Lord God. Lord, any other requests and the requests on each and every heart, Lord, for loved ones, for different situations. Lord, it's many times the requests that are on our hearts that we don't speak that are the most serious. So, Father, would you deal with each and every individual in your own way, Lord, and bring to pass, Lord, the things that we are needing, Lord, from you. So, Lord, come and inhabit the praises of your people as we give this service and our lives to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 354 in your handbook.
Sickness and my pain.
just claim those precious blood stains.
God bless you. Let's stand. Amen. Why don't we sing this as we invite Brother Nathan to come? And if he's still studying, we'll just sing till he gets here. Amen. It's good to be in church tonight. You pray for him, pull on the gift. You might be tired in body, but that's okay. Your spirit can be revived again tonight to enjoy the Word of God. Amen.
We've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord once more. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Once more. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Just felt led to sing this little chorus.
If you've got pain, oh, he's a pain taker. Oh, if you feel lost, we serve a way maker. Oh, if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you feel lost, he's a way maker.
He got chains. He's a chain breaker. Got pain. He's a pain taker. Or if you feel lost,
Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight to know a chain breaker?
Amen.
Amen. Certainly good to be in service again tonight. And I enjoyed the service last night. These brothers did a wonderful job. And amen. Just looking forward to whatever the Lord would have in store for us tonight. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Let's turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and want to read verse 13 to begin with. And I had planned on just moving on and picking up where we left off last time with our series on yield. And then Brother Attila said something last night, and I thought, Lord, why have you got to give these subjects to me instead of somebody else? But the Lord kind of struck inspiration and gave me something from something that he said. And the title and the topic may be a little misunderstood at first, but and I'm sure there'll be people that'll go back and maybe listen to it just because of the title. But you just bear with me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would have preeminence in this service. Lord, as we've certainly enjoyed bringing in the new year in worship, Lord, and in your presence, Lord, now we come again tonight. Lord, we need you here again tonight. Lord, we need another touch from you. Lord, may you just encourage hearts. May you build our faith, Father, for the coming year. Lord, for every danger, for every snare of the devil, for every obstacle that he would try to place in our way. Lord, may you begin to build our faith, Lord, for what lays ahead of us in this coming year. If you tarry, give us strength and courage for the journey, I pray. Lord, may we go out of here encouraged and heart strengthened. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. I realize that we've got people of all different ages here tonight, and some of you may be a little more, when it comes to technology and social media and things like that, maybe a little more advanced than others. And so I thought I'd just give a little bit of background before I tell you my title and before I tell you the direction that the Lord is leading me and why, what it was that Brother Attila said that led me this direction. But years ago, I think it was around 2007, there was a man that came up with an idea in the early years of social media to use the hashtag to identify or to group or to associate different topics together. And so you could have, you know, hashtag Church of the Open Door if you were wanting to say something about our church, and anybody else that put a hashtag or a pound sign or a number sign, for those of you who don't know what a hashtag is, before the subject, it would group that topic together with other groups. So when you went back to search that, you could find it easier, or if something was trending or whatever it would be, you could find things of that topic that were related together or associated together. Or group together, and you can, you know, you could tag different people, their IDs or whatever it would be. And as far as I know, right now, I don't think I have a social media account on any form of social media, but there are many different groups that have sprung up and that have been popular over the years, different movements and different things like that of hashtags that would get millions and millions of followers and hits and things like that. And something that has popped up recently over the last few years and has been in the news a lot is a movement called the Me Too movement. And that's a movement that's against harassment and assault and abuse and things like that. And so we obviously don't want to belittle or discredit that. There's many people that have faced things like that. that my heart goes out to him, and I wish that we didn't live in a sinful world where things like that happen. But as with anything, whenever there's a movement, whatever it would be, and there's people that are truly a part of that, people who have truly been hurt or scarred, or people that have things that they are associated with realistically with something like that, there will also be people that just because of the popularity or because of the attention will jump on the bandwagon and be a part of something like that as well. And so you see that even in many of these high-profile cases where men are being tried for exploiting women or doing terrible things, they find, you know, it begins to be hard to distinguish between the actual accusations and the ones that somebody's just jumping on the bandwagon to be a part of it. And so we find that's not only with movements like this, but if we had a group called the hashtag Christian movement, there would be people who were truly associated with that by experience, and they could claim to be a part of that group, but there would be other people that just because it was popular or trendy or just because somebody else expected them to be a part of that, they would attach themselves to it, yet it would be a falsehood. And if, when it came to court, would there be enough proof to actually prove and identify themselves as part of that group? If there would be a hashtag message group, I wonder if we could be identified truly when it came right down to it. Well, I believe God sent a prophet. And well, it's a little bit more than that, though. Amen. All that says that they're of the message, all that's named the name of the message isn't message, and all that's named the name of Christianity isn't Christianity. So we find if you're going to be a part of something, we really want to be a part of it. But my topic tonight is actually hashtag me too. And not because at all of the movement or anything on the topic of the movement, but Brother Attila was making a statement last night. He was giving a testimony about a man that he had come in contact with overseas. And the man was giving him a testimony that he didn't believe anything to do with God. He didn't want anything to do with Christianity. And a young man began to witness to him. And he said, young man, if you would just give me your Bible, he said, I could take your own Bible and prove you wrong by it. And the young man said, well, here. And he said, well, he said, could you let me borrow it for a while? Because I've actually never read it. See, a lot of times people are talking about things and they don't even know what they're talking about. And he said, so I took it and I began to read it. And here's the statement that caught my attention, Brother Hoover. He said, the more I read, the more I believed. And the thought popped into my mind, hashtag me too. Right. Amen. The more I read, the more I believed. Me too. Amen. I'm associated with that statement. I am identified with that statement. Amen. Group me in with that statement. Associate me with that statement. You know, there's something about it. Ever since my mom taught me to read when I was 5 years old, I pick up these message books and I pick up my Bible, Brother Hoover, and the more I read, the more I believe. Oh, my, something about it. You know, I'm excited. You know, when you've read it as long as some of us have, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, it begins to become common to you. But I don't know about you. God has blessed me with a decent memory to be able to remember quotes and dates and things like that. But I haven't memorized the whole message yet. And I haven't memorized the whole Bible yet. And sometimes when we're reading, even if we're trying to focus on whatever it would be, even if we're trying to pay attention, sometimes our mind begins to wander, or sometimes it's not the time for something to be revealed, and we'll go back the next year and read that same scripture that we'd read a year before, and now all of a sudden revelation begins to strike, and you think, I've read it before, but I never caught it like that. And you'll go back and you'll listen to a tape, maybe that you just listened to the week before, and then you sit down in church and we begin to listen to it together, and something begins to strike you and you recognize, the more I hear, the more I read, the more that I believe, and the more that is quickened to me. The more it becomes alive to me, and I'm so excited when, you know, sometimes we begin to think, well, I know it all, I've heard it all, and then you begin to stumble across the tape, well, I never heard that one, or you stumble across the verse, and I never caught it like that, and it gives us excitement. It gives us stimulation of revelation. Amen. Brother Ben begins to tell the story about the man in Portland, Oregon, and the maniac that would come and would challenge him at the platform. And here he comes in the back door. He said, a great big man. And he come running down the aisle and he said, I challenge you tonight. He said, I'll break every bone in your body. And this demonic spirit that had attached itself to this man, remember Brother Branham tells us, he said, spirits are basically powerless unless they have somebody to work through. And he actually takes it a step further. And he said, really, when it comes to the Holy Ghost, it's the same way. The Holy Ghost needs somebody to work through. Amen. And so here this man comes down the aisle and he makes this challenge. And Brother Branham said, all the preachers on the pulpit scattered. And he said, there stood a couple of policemen with their batons and they were standing by to take matters into their own hands. And he told him, he said, wait, this is not a flesh and blood affair. It sure looked like it at the time, didn't it, Brother Randy? I'll break every bone in your body. Sounded like a flesh and blood affair, but he was looking at the unseen. And he realized this was not just about sweat and muscle, but it was about a spirit that was anointing the man. But yet he was standing there being anointed by a different spirit. And it wasn't about the flesh and the blood of the man that was standing there. People get caught up on the flesh and the blood of the man. And I thank God for the flesh and the blood of the man. But if you could look beyond the flesh and the blood of the man and see the spirit that was anointing the man. And there he stands and these two spirits make their challenge. He says, tonight you'll fall at my feet. And the man begins to laugh at him, said, I'll show you whose feet I'll fall at. And he said, he raised back his fist to hit me. And he said, he began to spin around and around. He said, he fell right across my feet. Experiences 1952. The police said, is that man dead? I said, no, sir. I said, is he going to be all right? I said, no, sir. He worships that spirit. He thinks he's right. If he's willing to give it up, it would leave him now, but he worships it. He will take it right back. Oh, what a sad thing. Here he is standing in the presence of an anointing that hadn't been on the face of the earth in that way for 2,000 years since the Son of Man ministry, when God tabernacled himself in the fullness of the deity of Jesus Christ and walked upon the face of the earth in a sinless body. Now, this same Son of Man anointing would come back and anoint a sinner saved by grace with a portion of that same spirit down on the inside of him. And here this man lays at the feet of a vindicated prophet. Brother Attila, he was laying at the feet of a man that could cast this thing off of him. But it didn't matter how much power Brother Branham had to cast it off. The man worshiped the very thing. And he could cast and cast and cast, but he would still take it right back. You see, it doesn't matter how hard a man preaches the word of God. Doesn't matter how hard the Holy Spirit will fall into service. Doesn't matter what supernatural signs will take place. A man can stand and preach the word. And Brother Bam said, the man can't save you. But what he does is he casts the devil off of you so that God can come in and save you. He said, the preaching of the word drives away evil spirits and casts the devil off. But he said, you walk out of this building in doubt, the spirit will come right back on you. And so it doesn't matter how much you can cast out. Doesn't matter how much you feel the presence of God. If you worship that thing that you're serving, you'll walk out of that presence and it'll come right back on you. I said, would you move him off my feet? And they got him off my feet and I walked back to the platform and started speaking. I said, our Heavenly Father has all powers in heaven and earth. And a man laying on a cot said, yes, he has. He healed me. And he got up. There laid a man standing there with his crutches. He threw his crutches across the floor, said, he healed me too. Amen. Amen. Wasn't just for the guy in the cot, but I'm going to receive it for me too. Amen. Amen. Wasn't just for somebody in 1959, but it's for me too. Amen. Wasn't just for somebody back there on the shores of Galilee, but it's me too. Can you imagine if the man with crutches had laid there and said, oh, isn't that nice that the Holy Spirit would do something for that man on the cot? But he didn't let it stop at the man at the cot. He said, hey, I'm part of this movement too. I'm part of this move of the Holy Spirit. I'm part of what God's doing in this days. I want to be identified with what he's doing. I want to be associated with it. I'm not ashamed of it. Oh, you a message believer? Amen. Count me part of it. You following a man? Yes, I'm following a vindicated prophet. You believe that serpent seed stuff? Amen. Me too. You believe that? You believe that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? Me too. You believe the Holy Spirit still anoints believers in this age to do the same signs and wonders that Jesus did back there 2,000 years ago as he promised he would by Hebrews 13 and 8? Me too. He healed me too. You believe in predestination? I'm depending. I'm hanging my soul, Brother Lee, on predestination. Amen. Because I recognize I wasn't good enough. If I'm not hanging my soul on my works, Brother Caleb, I'm so thankful tonight I don't have to depend on my good works. I'm so thankful tonight I don't have to depend on my ability or my memory or my personality. I'm not resting my salvation in those things, but I'm resting my soul that God looked down through all time and eternity, and he said there's going to be a young man in New Albany, Indiana, that'll serve him. And he's not the only one. But I'll predestinate and I'll elect and I'll ordain. Can you say me too tonight? Amen. And away he went. Up come a man out of a wheelchair, said, me also. Amen. There the power of God moved through that building and shut the mouth of Satan. Oh, I pray he does it again tonight. Oh, Lord, move through the building and shut every doubt, every unbelief. Shut every evil spirit up. Shut up every demon of sickness and disease and torment. Shut the mouth of every demon of addiction and temptation. Come and shut his mouth tonight, Lord. The power of God moved through that building and shut the mouth of Satan. Hallelujah, he says. Hallelujah. He said, call me a fanatic if you want to. I'm a fanatic for Christ. Whose fanatic are you? I know what I speak of. If I die this night, I will never die. What a paradox. If I die tonight, Brother Japheth, I'll never die. Why? Because I have eternal life in me. And every born-again Christian does too. You can say me too tonight. If I go home to meet the Lord tonight, my testimony is still proven true. And every time that Satan has rose up, God has set him down. Oh, let me say, it doesn't matter how many demons rise up against this message. Doesn't matter how many demons rise up against this Bible. Doesn't matter how many demons rise up and say, the days of miracles are past, or, oh, you can't do that anymore. That was just for Brother Branham's day. I want to say that God will raise up and set him down if you'll take him at his word tonight. So therefore, without fear, he says, knowing my Lord Jesus is here, I do not hesitate to tell you the truth of God's word in this hour. Amen. He goes on in Three Witnesses in 1951. He says, and Brother Osborne, his wife was sitting there that night. Right. Brother T.L. Osborne tells it. He gives his testimony. And he said he was embarrassed to go that night because here he was. He had a part in a great Pentecostal denomination and they were wanting to make him a state presbyter and all these things. And he said, if I go down there with that and I'm identified with that, they won't have anything to do with me. So he didn't go that night. But his wife went down and sat in the meeting and she sees this happen. She sees the maniac of Portland cast out, the demon cast out, and sees him laying there powerless. And then, of course, the man goes out and the demon comes right back on him. But he wasn't able to do what he had claimed that he was going to do to the servant of God. And he wasn't able to interrupt the service anymore. And Brother Branham said, when that chief demon of unbelief was cast out, he said everything in the whole building was healed. Yeah. Oh, if we can just work on that guy. Amen. Tuberculosis, cancer, depression, diabetes, all these different things, you know, those are just little bitty demons. But if we can get the great big guy of unbelief to move out of the way, all those other guys will turn their tail and run. There were a lot of little Philistines. There were thousands upon thousands of them across the mountain there in the valley of Elah there when David and his men would come down, David and Saul's soldiers rather, and David would stand there. But there was one great big giant that stood in the way. But David took a little sling and he took that one man down and the rest of them, there were thousands of them, but their great giant, their great victorious guy that they were depending on. Oh, if he can get you to doubt a little bit, if he can say, well, I believe what Brother Branham said, said, but I don't know if it's for me. I don't know. I've done too much. I've ran too much, or I don't know if I have enough faith, or I don't know if it's, you know, maybe it's just not predestinated for me to be healed. And you can allow a little bit of doubt and unbelief to come down, then you'll go out of here just the way that you came in. But if you'll move that mountain, that giant of doubt out of your way and say, it's for me, whether I feel it or not, whether I can explain it or not, whether I see the immediate effects of it or not, it is for me, and I'll keep testifying that it's for me. Amen. Brother Branham didn't tell John Ryan. They were talking about him last night. He didn't tell him how long to keep testifying. He said, just go and keep testifying. Thank you, God, for healing me. Amen. God didn't tell Abraham how long to testify that he was going to have a baby. He just said, you're going to have a baby. And here he goes down. His brother, our brother was talking the other night. Brother Aaron, thank you. And he begins to talk about how that Brother Branham said he'd go down and get the bird eye and the booties and the pins and things. That was disposable diapers and pins to hold them on with. And he goes down to the checkout line and says, I'll take a stack of these. We're going to need them. A 70-year-old man and his wife 60. They looked at him like he was crazy. And, you know, years went by. I liked how Brother Aaron began to talk about how they was making preparations. He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to have a baby, but he began to add on a little bit of space in the tent. Maybe he began to paint that section of the tent blue. I don't know what he did, but he began to make preparations. And as he would prepare, the people would think he was crazy. And he'd think, you know, maybe about 10 years later, here he is 80 and his wife 70. You feel any different, Sarah? Not a bit different. Well, maybe. You know what? Maybe our faith isn't big enough. I'm going back to the supermarket and I'm going to buy some more diapers. His faith began to build. He didn't get weaker and weaker like we do, but his faith got stronger and stronger. Oh, Lord, my 15 years, Lord, it was going to be what a big miracle that was going to be, Lord. But now it's been 16 years. What a great God you are. How big you are, Lord. Oh, when the doctor said that I was going to have surgery. Oh, I believed you then, Lord, and what a miracle. But now they say there's no hope. Oh, what a bigger miracle it's going to be, God. Oh, my. And Brother Osborne, his wife, was sitting there that night. Now, she goes back to the hotel room, and she begins to tell him about what took place. And he begins to realize, hey, I don't care what they do. I don't care what they think. I've got to go see this in action. You see, it wasn't just enough to hear the testimony of his wife, but he wanted to go see it in action. And he goes and he sees Brother Branham come to the platform, and Brother Branham says, where does sickness come from? And he said, everybody knew where sickness come from. You know, it was just here. You get a germ and a cold. And he said, I thought, what a ridiculous question. Where did sickness come from? But he said, Brother Branham went all the way back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden and began to tell us where sickness came from. And he began to defeat the devil with the word. And he said, I sat there and he thought, I can do that. I don't have that gift that he has. I don't have that anointing, that first, second, or third pull that he's got. But I can take the word and do that. Right. And so Brother Bam said, so Brother Osborne, he said he fastened himself up in a room and nailed the door. He said, Lord, if you're still God like that, you can help me too. If you're still God like that and you can use a man to tie Satan in so many knots that the devil doesn't know what to do with him, God, you can do it through me too. There was a man like this back in Galilee. I don't think I'd ever caught this quote the way that I caught it today, Brother Jimmy, but Brother Branham will tell us a little bit more about this scripture in a minute. But St. Luke's gospel, I find it ironic. You know, Luke mentions this and Mark mentions this, but John doesn't mention this part in his gospel. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. He's not part of our group. He's not associated with our following. He's not part of our 12 disciples. Come on. He's not following us. No, no, he's not part of that. So we told him, hey, you better stop that, buddy. You're not following. Notice you can tell the motive and objective that was in John's heart here. Now you have to remember, this is the disciple of love, but pre-Holy Ghost, he wasn't very lovey-dovey. Pre-Holy Ghost, he was ready to call down fire out of heaven and kill some boys. Pre-Holy Ghost, he was ready to roll up his sleeves and duke it out with the other disciples to see who was going to sit at Jesus' right hand. Pre-Holy Ghost, he was ready to stop people from helping people if they weren't part of his helpful little group. Jesus answered, oh my, Let's just look at this a little further. You see the motive of his heart. He didn't say, we forbade him because he doesn't follow you, or he wasn't doing it in your name, or he wasn't following you. We forbade him because he followeth not with us. Oh, so we got to be a John follower. That's what you're wanting, John. You're wanting him to come along and get your handshake of approval. Oh, yes, brother, that's exactly the way that I would do it. That's exactly the way that Jesus taught me to do it, brother. You've got the official seal of the John handshake of approval. Well, no offense, brother John, but I'm not looking for your approval as much as I love you and as much as I want to see you in glory, but I'm looking for the stamp of the seal of the Holy Ghost's approval on my life. Amen. And Jesus stands there, and one of the other gospels it said, or here it says, they were casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Amen. Now we've turned this in the message ranks and in the Christian ranks, and we've turned it to John's theology instead of Jesus' theology, and we say, if they're not with us, they're against us. But Jesus said the opposite. He said, if they're not against us, they're with us. And Brother Branham says in Hear Ye Him 1956, this man wasn't chose as one of the disciples, but he stood on the sidelines and he seen the, heard the commission. He said, that means me too. He wasn't in the circle of the group. We don't even know what his name was, Brother Luke. We don't know what this man's name was. Now, we can name all 12 disciples. You know, we memorized the song as little Sunday school children. There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John. And you know the rest of it, or if not, your parents didn't take you to Sunday school enough when you was a kid, and shame on them. Maybe you can sit in with some of your kids' Sunday school classes and recognize what you missed out on. Amen. Somebody said, oh, poor Brother Nathan, he believes in Sunday school. Brother Branham said it's a Methodist tradition. Yeah, that's one quote, and there's about 100 quotes where he said it's a sin to send them. You should take them. You should take them. So I'll take those 100 quotes and let you keep your one quote about the Methodist tradition. He also said it was a Methodist tradition that an altar call was a Methodist tradition. But he also said time after time, now the Holy Spirit, that angel of the Lord that's standing here beside me, stopped me and said, stop the prayer line and make the altar call. So I don't think the angel of the Lord would stop him and tell him to do something that was contrary to the word. Amen. Amen. This man wasn't part of the 12 whose name we recognize. He wasn't in their circle. He wasn't in their clique. He wasn't in their hashtag 12 disciples following. But here he is. He's standing off on the sidelines, and maybe he was just passing by. Maybe they were out in the market one day, and he's just standing there buying apples, Brother Trevor, and he's picking this one up. No, my wife will shoot me if I bring that one back home. So let's see. Oh, there's a good one. Puts it in his little ditty sack there and goes along getting some bananas or whatever it was. And he notices coming down the street, there's a stirring of people. And here comes Jesus and his 12 disciples around him and a multitude of people gathering around. And Jesus begins to sit over to the side and just give the disciples a little lesson. And he begins to tell them the commission that they'll go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that they'll cast out devils in his name, and they'll lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you know, he's sitting there, and even though Jesus isn't speaking directly to him, even though Jesus didn't call his name personally, there he is sitting, and he says, you know what? He didn't call their name personally either. He didn't say this is just for Peter and Thomas and James and Andrew and Nathaniel and Philip. He didn't say that. He said, ye shall. And he said, when he said ye shall, I'm going to take that as he meant it for me too. Right. That means me too. And he begins to read his name, and he wasn't chosen of the disciples, but he stood on the sideline and heard the words proceed out of the precious Lord Jesus' mouth, and he had enough faith in his heart to say, I know he was talking to them when he said it, Brother Lee, but I believe it was for me too. If every tape we could listen to, and every time we would pick up the Bible, we could listen like this man listened. That every time somebody comes through a prayer line, that we could listen like this man listened. If every time Brother Branham gives us a promise in the Word and tries to ground us by revelation of this age, if we could take it and receive it like that, that is for me too. If every time we look into the pages of the Bible and so we see promises of healing and deliverance and salvation for our family and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if we could say, hey, that might have been for somebody else back there, but it's for me too. It's for me too. This man was listening, and he was ready to put it into action. Brother Ram said, and away he went and done it. He didn't just hear it and say, well, praise the Lord. That's for me too, Brother Trevor. Hallelujah. When he said that, he meant it for me. And then go and sit in his basement for 40 years and wait for God to come down and pick him up by his shoe straps and make him go do something. Away he went and done it. He put the word into action. He didn't have to join their association. He was just doing the job. And they were jealous. That's correct. God help us. God help us not to be jealous just because somebody isn't part of our little circle. If God is doing something for them or through them, then we ought to be able to say, praise God. Amen. Amen. However God wants to move, wherever he wants to move, if he wants to bless a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or a Catholic or some message believer that believes it a little different than us, I say, praise the Lord. Thank you for your blessings on them. Amen. Come and bless me too, Lord. Romans chapter 4 verse 18, he's talking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. We're supposed to be the seed of Abraham, right? Stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. Let me just stop there and say, me too, Lord. I'm fully persuaded. I don't care how many message preachers turn against it. I don't care how many backslidden church members turn and walk away. I don't care how many people say, well, I don't have enough faith to receive my healing. I have confidence and I'm fully persuaded that whatever God has promised in his word, he is more than able to perform. Amen. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. This is Paul's hashtag me too. It wasn't just for him, but it was for us also. It was for me. It was for you Romans. It was for you down in Laodicea. It was for every church age. It wasn't just for Abraham back there in Mesopotamia, but it was for us also. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Brother Branham breaks into it on leading of the Spirit of God in 1955, and he said, if God gives you a promise through his word tonight and you it don't happen in 5 minutes, why, you go away and say there's nothing to it. How can you be a son or a daughter of Abraham? When God makes a promise to a son and daughter of Abraham, they believe God. And Abraham, the Bible said, instead of getting weaker, he got stronger all the time, knowing it would be more of a miracle. And he called those things which are as though they were not. He believed God. Now there's a man years after this, and here he is in Jerusalem. And it comes time for Jesus to be born. And once Jesus is born, they want to take this baby and have it dedicated to the Lord. Now, he was born under a bad name because here, Joseph and Mary, when they were just engaged, here Mary comes home 3 months pregnant, and there was a rumor that went about that he was an illegitimate child, but yet Mary knew what had taken place, and Joseph knew what had taken place, and the angel of God knew what had taken place, that this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And now they come, and there they are standing in the line to dedicate the babies. And Brother Branham said he could hear them snickering. One another said, oh, look, there's that woman that's got that illegitimate baby over there. If they only knew what they were calling illegitimate. You see, when the word's made flesh, many times that it gets a bad name tacked on it. Oh, people can take the word and my word, they can talk that up. Oh, my. The Pharisees could stand there and say, we have Moses to our father. But when the one Moses was talking about was made flesh, they called it a bad name. Oh, there's many that can pack around their Bibles and say, oh, we believe this and this is all we need. But when it comes to the word being fulfilled for this age of what the Bible promised, they'll snicker and laugh at it and say it was for some other age. Call it a name of holy roller or man follower or whatever they want to tack on it. But I'm proud to be identified with the word tonight. And there Mary stood holding the word made flesh in her arms in this line to dedicate the baby. St. Luke chapter 2 verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He gets a revelation that he's not going to see death until he sees the Lord's Christ. Now here he is, Brother Branham said, in one place, a man in his 90s, and death is getting closer and closer, yet a revelation. Now he didn't have a promise of Isaiah. He had the promise that a virgin would conceive. He had promises of what Messiah would be, but he had no promise in the Word that he specifically would see this take place. But a revelation began to drop down on the inside of his heart. It wasn't contrary to the Word. It just made the Word a little more personal to him. And the revelation on the inside of his heart said, Simeon, that's not for somebody else in some age down the road. That's not for somebody else in some other town or some other family. But Simeon, this Word is going to be manifested before your eyes. And no doubt he could stand there and say, this day this scripture is fulfilled. Leading in the Spirit again, 1955. And Simeon perhaps said, now if my father Abraham believed God because God gave him the promise, God promised me too, and I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. A real son of Abraham. Able to stand there with the same faith that Abraham, and even though it seemed ridiculous to everybody else, who do you think you are, Simeon? Look at all the priests in town that dedicate babies. Look how many years they've been dedicating babies since Isaiah's prophecy. Who do you think you are? They say that to you, man. What makes you think you're better than somebody else? You talk about taking a rapture and all these things. What makes you better than the Methodists or the Baptists or the Pentecostals? Nothing that I did, I can promise you that. Amen. It's not that I think I'm better than them. It's that God gave me a revelation down on the inside of what he's doing in this age. Amen. Simeon wasn't better than any other priest in that age. He wasn't richer. He wasn't more popular. He didn't come from a better family. But something down on the inside of him by revelation said, it's for you, Simeon.
Amen.
He said, it's not just for Abraham. It's not just for Isaac and Jacob and all these back down through here. But it's for me too.
Amen.
Expectation, 1961. Brother Abraham's talking about when he was in Africa. He says, them blanket natives the day before didn't know which was right hand from left hand. Here they was, lovely Christians, healed by the power of God in one moment of time. Why? They've seen something happen. And as soon as they seen it happen, something sprung to them and said, it's me too. He didn't pray for all those thousands of people that received God in the prayer line. But when one man comes up there blind and he says, hey, if God can give this man his sight, he said, anybody else's religions here want to come up and give him his sight? My, it was a quiet group of people, yet multiplied thousands. And he said, if Jesus Christ will heal this man's eyes, will you believe him? And they raised their hands, and he didn't have to come down and heal every single one of them and say, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to discern you, and stand there and do it for 25,000. People, but they saw it happen on one man, and they said, if God can do that for him, if God is that much of a living reality in this age, if God can speak through a prophet and tell us that this man is going to receive his eyesight, and then a few moments later we see it, it's not just for that guy on the platform, it's for me too. I hope you can say it tonight. It's not just for those guys up there on the platform, it's for me too. It's not just for somebody in a prayer line back in the 50s. It's for me too.
Amen.
It's not just for somebody on the shores of Galilee. It's for me too.
Amen.
When they had the opportunity, they accepted it, and away they went. That's all there is to it, see? So simple.
Amen.
We try to make it complicated. You got to come my way. Oh, no, you don't come Brother Nathan's way. He's all confused. He's wrong. I'm Brother so-and-so. Come my way. And then another brother will say, oh, no, that brother's wrong. That brother, I wouldn't follow him across the street, let alone into the kingdom of God. You got to follow my way and this way and that way. And you got to do all you got to do is take this word of God and say, hey, it is for me. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what group they belong to or what group they don't belong to. They can say what they want about me. They can say it's not for me. They can say it's for some other day. They can say it's for somebody else. But by revelation, I look into the Word of God, and a deep calling to the deep on the inside of my heart says, it's for you.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you have that same revelation tonight. John chapter 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because you believe he lives?
Amen.
Amen. You believe he rose from the grave? Amen. I don't believe the old atheistic story that they hid his body and they stole it and all these different things. I don't have enough faith to believe that because I've seen what the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ can do. I've seen him in the power of his resurrection. So I believe with all of my heart that he is risen. I don't care how many atheists rise. I don't care how many ideas they come up with and how much they try to unscientifically prove the Bible. I don't care what they say. I believe by revelation and by the vindication of his Holy Spirit working in my own life and the life of others that I've been in contact with, I've known him in the power of the resurrection. So I know that he lives. And he promised me that if he lives, then I'll live also. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 14. Paul says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. He'll raise up me too by Jesus. And shall present us with you. Praise the Lord. An uncertain sound 1961. God proved by raising him up, he will raise me too. I'm already sitting in heavenly places resurrected. It's true as far as God's concerned. It's true as far as God's concerned. Now, I know there's brothers that preach that we're already resurrected now, physically and spiritually in every way. But I look at them and I see the gray hair and the wrinkles and the sickness and the coughs and things and their stooped shoulders and the things that they go through. And I think, oh my goodness, if that's the resurrection, then I don't know if I want anything to do with that. But because he raised, I'll raise too. We have the earnest of it. We have the earnest of it. And as far as God is concerned, when God looks at you, you might be the biggest hypocrite in the city right now tonight. You may be the biggest sinner in the city right now. But if God has predestinated you, when he looks at you, as far as he's concerned, you're already resurrected with him and seated in heavenly places because he's not looking at you now. He's looking at what you will be. He's looking at the potential that's down on the inside of you. Some of you young people, if you're not careful, you'll let the devil beat you over the head and keep you out of the kingdom. But you know what? There's one thing about it. He can't keep a predestinated seed of God out of the kingdom. You just keep telling him, hey, it doesn't have anything to do with me in the first place. It's what he already did for me. If he can keep you out of the kingdom, it's because God didn't look and see you already seated in heavenly places with him. Amen. He'll raise me too. I had a dream the other night. I don't have a whole lot of dreams that I consider spiritual, but I do consider this one spiritual. If you disagree with me, then you just pray for me and forgive me and treat me friendly anyhow. But I had a dream the other night, and in the dream, I saw my grandfather Gibson on my mother's side, and he was sitting in a chair, and we were sitting in the living room talking to him. And he's sitting there, and for the dream's sake, he still was in the body that he died in, an old man looking like that, I believe, so that I could recognize him and know who he was. But as he was talking to us, we began to talk about different things, and he began to try to describe to us the body change, Brother Hoover. Here he is in another dimension, but there he was sitting in my dream talking to me, and he said, there's no words that I could use to describe what it's like to go from that old body into a young one. No words that I could use. Can you imagine what it'll be like? You know, this time of year we get sinus infections and things like that, and sometimes you'll have one ear that's been stopped up for about 2 weeks and your spouse talks on that side and you can get away with ignoring them because you can't really hear out of that side. And somebody's playing music and it feels like you're in a tunnel listening to it because you're only hearing it out of this one side of the ear, and you're trying to hear things. Somebody's standing on this side and you can't hardly make them out, and you turn your good ear to them, and you go to lay down in bed at night and this one whole side of your nose is stopped up, and you try to do everything you can. You're trying to breathe out that half open side of the other nose, and your wife keeps hitting you in the side with a pillow and trying to shove you over or out of bed or whatever to keep you from snoring. And then one morning you wake up and you go to take a breath in, and all of a sudden that ear opens up, and all of a sudden you can breathe out of that nostril, and you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall, and you say, thank you, Jesus. I can breathe out of both nostrils. I can hear out of both ears. And you're ready to rejoice. Can you imagine when you're walking along one day and those old achy knees begin to feel better and that old stooped shoulder begins to straighten up and all those scars begin to fade away and all those white hairs begin to turn back into whatever they were before that, and every misplaced portion of your body from surgeries and accidents and whatever it be begins to pop back into place And you're standing there, what words could you use to describe it? And in my dream, I was sitting there and I thought, wait a minute. Now I recognize who this is now. And I know where he's at. And I'm beginning to see my loved ones, so I know what time that it must be. Oh, it's 2020, friends. We're a long way past what most of us ever thought we'd ever see. And one of these days, it's not just going to be a dream. It's not just going to be a quote. It's not just going to be a scripture. But grandma and grandpa and mommy and daddy are going to start walking through the doors. And you're going to realize, oh my, I know what's getting ready to take place. Don't wait till that time to make it ready. If you wait till that time, you won't see him. And you'll think that guy's crazy that told you, your cousin or whoever said, I just saw grandma the other day. You'll think, oh goodness gracious, time to check him into an institution. Don't worry about it. You can check him into all the institutions you want. They'll go in one day and they'll find that straitjacket there empty. Right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Result of decision, 1955. Say, young man, you sitting right behind her there on the end of the row, a man looking right at me with earnestness, said, God, can't you touch me too? He calls out a woman in front of this young man, and there's a young man sitting behind her, said, Lord, if you can speak through that prophet to her, can't you touch me too? Amen. He find out real quickly he could. Amen. Again, a greater witness, 1953. And when somebody's healed up here at the platform, you say out there, say, I accept it for me. That's me too. God knows just what's the matter with me. If he knows what's the matter with that one, and I'll tell you that in Jesus' name, you'll find that every person in here will be healed. Amen. Amen. If you want to make that just a quote for 1953, you go ahead and do it. But for me and my house, we're going to take it for ourselves. Amen. And we're going to say, hey, that's me. That's for me too. Brother Attila said the man told him, the more I read, the more I believed. God just stuck it in my heart. I don't think the devil would have stuck it there. Me too. Me too. So I began to sit and write down a few things today, and I thought, if God had a plan of redemption when Adam and Eve fell back in the beginning, and he had looked down through time, he had known through all eternity that they were going to fall, but he didn't have to wait till the fall and then have a conference with the angels and say, hey, angels, come together. Let's come up with a plan of redemption. He already had a plan of redemption for Adam and Eve. And if God had a plan of redemption for Adam and Eve, you know what? Me too. He's got a plan of redemption for me. Amen. He's got a plan of redemption for you. And if God could protect Noah through the tribulation and through the destruction of his age, then you know what? Me too. He can protect me through many dangers, toils, and snares. If God could do the scientifically impossible for Abraham and Sarah, then you know what? He can do it for me too. Amen. He can do it for you too. If God could provide a ram in Isaac's stead when he was laying there about to die, and his own daddy raising back the knife to take his life, when I deserved judgment, Brother Trevor. I deserved hell. I deserved his cross. I deserved his thorns. But he provided me a lamb just like he did Isaac. He provided me a lamb too. If God, in all of his providence and in all of his plan, and he was trying to get a people together, and God looked down through time and he saw that Jesus, the very body that he would create and form in the womb of Mary, that it was going to come through the tribe of Judah, was the tribe that he would anoint a man and a woman to come together in an engagement, and he would pick that man and that woman out of all the billions of people that had lived on the face of the earth up until that point. He predestinates those two people, and to get to that place in time, he has to get this one together with that one, and all the way down through 14 generations, skip a few, 14 generations, skip a few, 14 generations, and here Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. And he had to get through all those wars, plagues, people dying in the wilderness, people dying for committing sins and sacrifices and things. And here they would, they'd take them out and stone them for their sins by the law. And God had to protect this lineage all the way down through. And some of them were previously prostitutes and Gentiles and all kinds of terrible pasts, living with relatives and all kinds of muck and sin and confusion. And God protects that bloodline all the way down through. Amen. And to do that, to get that bloodline where it needed to be for his predestinated plan, Brother Lee, he had to send an Eliezer to get a bride for Isaac. And before you and I ever knew anything about this, God sent an Eliezer to get his Rebekah. Before your parents knew anything about the message, God was sending an Eliezer, said, go get my son a bride. Brother Branham didn't maybe know your names, maybe never met you, maybe never shook your hand. He maybe didn't know who all would be there on that day. But you know what? There was one that did. And he sent Eliezer and he said, go get my son a bride. If he could send Eliezer and Eliezer to call Rebecca out, you know what? He sent one for me too.
Amen.
And if he could let the death angel pass over the children that had the blood applied over them, that had the token applied, you know what? That same death angel will pass over those that have the blood applied over them that have the token. Oh my, you might have some part of time tarries in the first death, but that death angel won't be able to touch you with that second death because the token has been applied over your life.
Amen.
If he could part the waters for Moses, you know what? He can part whatever it is I'm facing. If he could provide for them in the wilderness when they had no food, they had no water, they had no JCPenney or Kohl's to go down and get them new shoes or new clothes, but God provided for them. He fed them. He watered them. Not only the 2 million people, but all their cattle and their animals and everything. And then we get laid off of a job and we're about to pull our hair out. Oh God, you failed me. How am I going to provide? How am I going to do this? The same one that rained manna down out of heaven can give you a job, can feed your family, can provide clothes on your back. If he could provide for them in the wilderness, he's obligated to provide for us. It may not be the way you had it all figured out in your scheme and your sketch and your five-year plan, but he'll provide for you. If he can make the walls fall down in Jericho, not with a chisel, not with a hammer, not with a battering ram, not with missiles, but by the spoken word of God and the shout in the camp, the walls of Jericho begin to fall down. It doesn't matter how many people build up walls around you, so you'll never make it. We'll never have anything to do with you. You're not predestinated. You're not saved. All those walls, God can bring them right down. But you know what? There was one wall that didn't come down, because in that wall there was a predestinated seed by the name of Rahab. And I'll steal one from Brother Attila tonight. He was talking to me the other day, and he said, you know what? They didn't need to go and spy out the land. Joshua didn't need to send two spies down there when they didn't really need to see how thick the walls were or how tall they were. They didn't need to see how strong the army was, because God was just going to knock them down. You don't need spies for that. You don't need spies for God to do something supernatural to a wall. You don't have to spy out and come back. Now, God, here's the thickness of the walls, Lord. And Lord, I don't know if you think you're strong enough. Oh, God, help us. They're so tall and the giants are so big. God don't need you to spy out for him. But there's some predestinated seed out there that he needs you to go and to tell about what God is doing in this age. And he sent two spies in because there was a predestinated seed. Oh, her life looked black and smutty and terrible, but yet God had predestinated her to be a part of her body. And if he could preserve the predestinated seed of Rahab in a city like that, in the situation that she was in, you know what? He did it for me too. If God could bring Ruth to her kinsman redeemer, even though she was a Moabite, even though she was a Gentile, even though everybody else didn't want anything to do with her, her nearest kinsman wouldn't even redeem her because, oh my, I would have to take on the name of Ruth the Moabite. I can't do that and mar my own name. I can't raise up a child to the dead. I've got to think about my own inheritance and my own lineage and my own this and my own that. But there was one that was willing to lay down everything he had for his Ruth. Hey man, if he could provide her a kinsman redeemer, you know what? He did for me too.
Amen.
Oh my, if he could anoint Shamgar to protect his family when the odds were against him, when science was against him, when military strategy was against him, strength and numbers and armor and ammunition and everything was against him, but he could anoint Shamgar to protect his family, he could anoint you to do the same thing.
Amen.
If he could anoint a little David, a little curly-headed shrimp, as Brother Branham called him, to defeat the giants that was standing in his way to what God had promised and anointed for him to do in his life, then God will anoint you to slay the giants that are standing in the way of what he has called and anointed and elected you to do in your life. If he could give Solomon wisdom for the things that he faced and the situations that were brought to him, he can give you wisdom too. If he could bring, if the God of Elijah would come on the scene for Elisha, the God of Elijah can come on the scene for you too.
Yes, sir.
If God could bring the Hebrew children through a fiery furnace, he can bring you through your fiery furnaces.
Amen.
If he could protect Daniel in the lion's den, he can protect me too. If he could anoint Esther for such a time as this, when it looked like everything was against her and that her whole race would be destroyed. And he anoints a woman for such a time as this. And a lot of our message sisters have been so beat down by mouth chauvinistic men around the message, they just sit there and think, oh, I can't do anything. I guess I can cook a grilled cheese sandwich for my husband. Hallelujah. That's what God's called me to do. Well, I hope he called you to do that and a whole lot more. Amen. Don't stop cooking grilled cheese sandwiches for your husband or whatever it is that his favorite dish is. You go home and dish it out. But you also raise up a standard in that home for your children. You teach them about Jesus. You live a life on the street when you're out here at Walmart or Kroger or whatever it is. You dress the right way and act the right way and live sweet and salty even when somebody's treating you wrong. Let them see the life of Jesus Christ in you, because he has called you for such a time as this and anointed you to use you for the kingdom of God. If he could use Nehemiah to do a great work in his day, he can anoint you to do a great work in this day. If he could send Isaiah, a man who could say, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He began in the presence of God. He realized he wasn't as self-righteous as he thought he was. But before he got in the presence of God, he thought, here I am, anointed to be a prophet, ordained from my mother's womb. Here I am, I go and I do this and I say this in the name of the Lord and it takes place. But once really fully in the presence of God, he said, oh God, my, even the cherubims and the seraphims are covering their face and covering their feet with their wings. And all they can do is just sit there and say, holy, holy, holy. He said, oh God, help me. Here I thought I was somebody. Here I thought I was popular in the message. Here I thought I had it all figured out. Here I thought I was living a pretty good job. I know I was living better than brother so-and-so at this other church. And I know my wife lives better than sister so-and-so in the pew across from us. But oh God, in your presence, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell, even though I thought my church people were pretty good and my family was pretty holy, I dwell among unclean people, God. And God can anoint him and send him. He can send you. If he could use Ezekiel to speak to some old dry bones back there in Israel in the valley of dry bones, he can use you to speak to some dry bones on your work and at your school and in your family reunions. If he could find Jonah in the belly of a whale, he'll find you wherever you are. Wherever you go, however far you try to run, if he'd give the keys to the kingdom to a man who denied him, what will he entrust you with that's trying to serve him to the best of your ability? Right. If he could use a man who persecuted the church and call him to be the first church age messenger, what can he do with you? Right. If he could keep John safe in boiling oil for 24 hours, how can he protect you? Amen. If he could come in the flesh of Jesus, he can come in your flesh.
Amen.
He can come in my flesh. Me too, Lord.
Amen.
Me too, Lord. You came in his flesh, but don't stop there. Don't stop it at a manger. Don't stop it at a cross on Calvary on a hill somewhere. But God, come and make yourself flesh in me too tonight, Lord. If he came back on the day of Pentecost in his bride and promised that it wasn't just for those that were there in the upper room, but it was for them and for their children and for as many as the Lord our God shall call. Don't let the devil keep you out of the Holy Ghost and say, well, you're just not good enough. Or what about your past? Or what about this situation in your family? Or what about this, that, or the other? If he could come and veil himself in human flesh and his bride again on the day of Pentecost, he can do it in you too.
Amen.
Amen. Let me read this last quote. Musicians, if you come. I don't know how long we've been, but it feels like it's been too long, so you forgive me if it has been, but you forgive me, but I don't apologize for it, okay? Getting in the Spirit, 1961, Brother Bram says, and Father God, I pray that you'll help me tonight, that the Holy Spirit might have a free access into my soul and my heart, my life, my eyes, my being. Not only to me, but to every person here, that the ones who does not believe might see the Spirit working through believers and saying, if that water can flow from that smitten rock through them, it can through me too. Is that your desire tonight? Lord, if you could flow through Brother Branham, if you could flow through a yielded vessel like that, Lord, we may not have the same gift that he has. We may not have that same Son of Man anointing, but Lord, you can flow through me too.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we see the promise of the Scriptures,
as we see you confirming your word. Lord, don't let it just be for somebody else. Don't let it be in the past. Don't let us leave you back there in history somewhere. Lord, we thank you for the word. Lord, we believe it's an infallible word, your Bible that you sent us. But Lord, if we just leave you back there in dead letter, it's nothing to us. It won't produce anything if we leave it in history. Lord, I thank you for every tape, every sermon that we have the prophet's voice recorded, where we can hear him speak to our hearts. And we recognize so many times it's so up to date that he had to be speaking to a group in this age. He had to be speaking to a predestinated seed down in 2020 and not just those in 65 and 57 and 47 and back through there. But God, if we just leave you on magnetic tape back there in the past, then God, what can you do for us? But Father, may it not just be for someone once upon a time in another age, but Lord, our heart's desire is me too tonight, Father. Lord, if there's any that need healing in their body, Lord, may you come and may it be for them too. If there's any that need salvation, Father, anoint them too. If there's any that need the Holy Ghost, Father, may it be for them too, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Lord, sometimes our faith is so weak compared to the promises that you've left us. If we could get a true revelation of what your word has laid in store for us and promised us, and we could by revelation recognize it wasn't for somebody else, but it's for me too. It's something personal to me. Just as Simeon recognized it, just as Abraham recognized it, that it was a personal revelation. That your promise for that age was something personal to them that had a personal impact on their life and their walk and their situation. Father God, may you just move on the scene again tonight. May it be personal in lives, I pray. May it be a living reality in them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You thankful for his presence? Sister Stephanie, that's exactly what I was wanting to sing. Thank you for yielding to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You believe he can flow through musicians and Sunday school teachers and song leaders? And amen. He's able. Let's sing it together tonight. Let's stand to our feet and worship him. Flow through me. Flow. Desire tonight. Oh, as I live, oh, and to magnify your name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Let's sing it.
Came in and said, prayer request for a friend from Phoenix, Arizona, Gene Bunting, has cancer and weighs about 70 pounds. He's not expected to live much longer. That's from Brother Layton. Let's bow our heads together for this prayer request. Very urgent, very serious. But we know of situations like this that God has moved on the scene. Georgie Carter was down a lot smaller than that, and God came on the scene and healed her. Florence Nightingale, down to just a skeleton of a human being, but yet God came on the scene. That same God is still present. That same God can still heal tonight. That same God still heals cancer. Brother Branham said the angel of the Lord told him, if you can get the people to believe you,
they would believe his ministry, if they would have confidence in the gift in his life, if you can get the people to believe you, not even cancer will stand in your way. How many believes in his ministry? How many believes God sent him? Amen. Then I'm going to say that's for me too. Amen. If we believe that God sent him, that not even cancer can stand in the way. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for this gentleman, Lord, Brother Gene Bunting, ate up with cancer, only 70 pounds. The enemy's tried to eat him away to just a frail body, has attacked him, ravaged his body with cancer and sickness. He would love to take his life if he could do it. But Lord, your prophet taught us that Satan cannot take our life until you're done with us. So Lord, we believe that if you have a purpose still for our brother, Lord, if you still have something for him to do on this earth, it doesn't matter if Satan takes him down to 30 pounds. He can't take his life until you're done with him. You're able to restore him back to a healthy man, cancer-free, to where the doctors don't find one trace of cancer in his body. Lord, we believe your word tonight. We believe in you as that type of God. We've seen you heal cancer. We've seen tumors disappear. We've seen cancer leave people's bodies. We've seen reports come back that the numbers in the blood cells of cancer stages were completely gone and no trace of cancer. You're still that same God tonight in 2020. You're still that same Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd go to our brother tonight, heal his body. May a testimony come forth from it that would shake the kingdom of Satan. Oh, Father, may you shut up every devil that would come, every doubt and unbelief. May you shut him up and bring healing to our brother, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Yes, Lord. I know the Lord has made a way. Oh, if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord has made a way.
This is 60 in your hymn book. If you don't know it, you're following Jesus tonight. It's the way I want to start my year out. Amen.
I'm following Jesus one step at a time. I live for the moment. Yeah. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus each step of the way.
Amen. Brother Hoover taught us this song a while back, but Brother Taylor really was reading this scripture, made me think of this song. Lift Jesus higher. Amen. He'll draw all men unto him.
Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, oh, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up. To see, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, oh, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, oh, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, oh, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord to walk all over. I command you, Satan. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. Lift Jesus higher. God bless you, saints. Sing it as you go. To see, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him.